This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much, along with Sean Belen. Glad you're here with us on Sports Saturday. And, well, that was an interesting week.
Phew, wow.
And if you think about how far we've come, literally on Monday, the President of the United States said it was fake news. Friday, he declares a national emergency. And, of course, in between, the sports world was canceled.
Unbelievable. And I don't know if it would have gotten as far as fast without the whole scenario at that NBA game.
That changed everything.
I mean, just the shy. I think it changed the attitude of players at every level.
You're exactly right. And, of course, the IHSA made the prudent decision to cancel the remainder of the Winter State Series. So that means no state basketball tournament at all. And, of course, as of now, schools are closed throughout the state, so no spring sports will get underway starting on Monday. But, Sean, when we think about the state basketball tournament, remember, the initial plan, like the NBA had and a lot of these sports groups had, okay, we'll play without fans. We'll still be able to keep the games going, but we can't let fans in. And that made sense. That's a logical position to take. But as you said, once Rudy Gobert, an NBA player, tested positive, that changed everything. Because what good is playing in front of no fans if one of the players has it, or one of the officials has it, or one of the scorekeepers has it? And that was the domino. Once it fell, everything else went after, and it ended, of course, with no high school sports in the state.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not an infectious disease specialist. But it stands to reason, if we're talking about social distancing,
which I'd never heard that term before this week, by the
way. That's a newbie. But when your job is to be all over that guy and you're exchanging bodily fluids and Lord knows what else, sweating and everything else, and I realize it is, maybe we don't know that it's passed through sweat, but either way, close quarters, everything about is close quarters. So, yeah, really tough call. And again, we don't totally have this thing mastered on top of that.
You know, it seems like of all the sports, hockey could have maybe tried to get away with it, because you're almost in a hazmat suit as it is with all the equipment that you're wearing. Obviously your face area and head area is still somewhat exposed, but I mean, you at least got the face masks, the helmets, and everything else is covered up. I still understand why they canceled it or suspended the season, but
the NHL used the word paused.
Right.
Yes.
They paused the season. So okay, you've paused the season, and especially at the high school level. And, it, you know, it goes for pros and the colleges, too. But really, at the high school level, you know, you have to take an abundance of caution. I mean, it's the old saying, better to be safe than sorry. I'd rather overreact than underreact in a situation like this. And it seems so strange that, you know, schools are out across the state. There'll be no sports starting on Monday. The state basketball title will be vacant for 2020. These are all weird things, and as sports fans, you know, it pains you. It really does. But in the grand scope of things, if it keeps one high school kid from contracting this, or one official, or one scorekeeper, then it was the right thing to do.
It must feel like my high school did. It was bleak at the start of the school year. They didn't have football. There was this vast nothingness.
Yeah. It just puts stuff in perspective. Yeah. I mean, it really does. Like, we get caught up, you know, we just had super sectionals for 1A and 2A, you know, the 3A and 4A basketball season was into the sectional final round. We're going to get a great game between Lanphier and Lincoln. Folks have been looking forward to that game for a long, long time since the brackets came out. I remember Neil Alexander talking about that to me when Nokomis was up there to play earlier this year. He was saying, yeah, if we get to the sectional final, this place is going to be packed when Lanphier comes into town. And as it was going to be an empty gym if the game even got played, which we now know it won't.
Mm. That's tough, you know, and I went through the scenarios. I understand that some of the hosts were, back and saying, hey, we don't really want to host a sectional title game. The IHSA didn't name names, but I almost thought that you could have taken, but again, there's player-to-player contingent concerns, obviously.
Right.
But as far as I thought of the scenarios, I almost thought you could have found, like, a gym that's no longer attached to a school. Like, let's say Jacksonville, they've got the bowl there. Mm-hmm. And it was attached, I guess, to the school at one time, and then the school moved elsewhere. And I think these guys would have volunteered for a self-quarantine for 14 days. But still, you don't know. You know, just like when we find out these kids have hidden heart problems and a kid drops in a high school basketball game. Who knows who has hidden respiratory issues, especially in an era where we see more and more kids with inhalers.
Yeah, and from what I've gathered, you know, if you have asthma, you are at, I guess, a bit of a higher risk than someone who doesn't have asthma, at least from what I was able to
gather. Yeah, compromised respiratory or immune system.
In these types of situations, Sean, it's always, we have to be so careful because we're not doctors, obviously. But when you're reporting on something like this, you obviously want to make sure first and foremost that you've got the facts in line. You don't want to be promoting misinformation. And we saw some misinformation from the sports angle earlier this week. Someone was out there saying the IHSA had canceled all spring state series events. That is not true. It never was true. The IHSA took the position, we're going to hold off and see how this develops before we make a decision on the spring sports season. Now, we know with the schools closed, there won't be any spring sports for at least the next 2 weeks. But as of now, they have made no decision on the fate of baseball and softball postseason play coming up in May. Now, this is an important thing to keep in mind. The IHSA is reminding athletes in spring sports that if they play or practice with their club team or their travel team during this shutdown, they will be ineligible for their high school team when the season resumes. So that is something very important to the spring athletes. If you're on a club team, a travel team, whatever it is, a non-school team, you cannot play with them or practice with them here during the school shutdown, or you will be ineligible for your high school team. So just keep that in mind. And you think about the athletes, especially the seniors, and for the 1A and 2A basketball players, the thrill and joy of winning the Super Sectional on Tuesday.
Oh.
You go to Peoria on Thursday. If you've ever been involved with the state tournament, whether covering one or playing in one, that Thursday is such a fun day. You're in the arena by yourself. You get your own time on the floor. They've got the team dinner in the hotel that night. There's just so many of those behind-the-scenes things on Thursday that really add to the experience, and that was all the kids got, was that Thursday.
And it's not a here-and-now thing. You are entering a brotherhood or a sisterhood, for that matter, with others who made it before. You know, like modern day down there in Breeze. It's like, hey, welcome to the club. So you run into a guy 15 years older than you, 30 years older than you, you know, played for Dennis Trombe back in the day. And you feel a part of that. And now it's like, well, I'm a part of it, and yet I kind of feel like I'm not.
I mean, it feels obviously unfinished because it is. Like, as a kid, you dream of getting to the state tournament. But in your mind, you actually get to play in the state tournament. And we know the NCAA is going to, I guess, extend the eligibility for the seniors in the spring sports that will be affected by their shutdown because they've canceled all of their postseason events. But the high school seniors, they don't get that.
No.
So, I mean, you think about we were talking about Lincoln a moment ago. Think about Caden Frobe and that group of seniors.
Oh.
All the things they did, all the success they had over their high school careers, and that's how it ends. Not on the floor. It breaks your heart.
And, you know, Mr. Kimbrough's good friend, Mr. Alexander, how much longer does he have? You know, something could show up on an X-ray in March, or he just hits the point, it's like, you know what, I just can't handle the grind anymore. He's got a plan in his head he hasn't announced. You know, you never know. Just tough.
And will he ever have a better team in the near future than he had this year?
Oh, man.
I don't know, because that team was phenomenal.
And it's just such a great rivalry, that Lincoln and Lanphier, completely different styles, and the respect they have for one another, you know.
I remember Coach Alexander that night when Nokomis was there talking about the crowd that would be there if it was Lincoln and Lanphier in that section of finals. He said the gym might not hold it. I mean, that's the type of anticipation there was for that ball game, but as we know now, did not happen. And you mentioned Coach Kimbrough a minute ago, Sean. Can you imagine knowing that it was Coach Kimbrough's last year, if they would have made it to state, if they would have got there, and then his end of his career comes on a season cancellation? Tough to think about.
Yeah, and you know, I feel bad too for those Madison kids. They've almost built up like a private school mentality as far as this is an escape from, you know, some of the tough socioeconomic things. I mean, they, under Cotto and the current coach, they really have built something special. And, you know, teachers are invested. Everybody is so invested in what they do over there. And your heart breaks for those kids. That's, they don't come back to the PS4 in a lot of cases, or some of the creature comforts, you know, the snazzy smartphone with unlimited minutes. Yeah, you know, it's a double whammy when I think of those kids. And that's a classic example of, you know, sports being a place where the playing field levels a little bit, and the have-nots can be the haves out there on the hardwood.
That's always been the great thing for anybody who loves sports, is it's a great escape from the real world. And unfortunately, this week, the two collided, and we've got no sports here on any level for the foreseeable future. It's going to be very eerie. You think about what last night should have been. It should have been state semifinals for 1A, 2A, sectional championships for 3A, 4A. We should be sitting here talking about state championship games today for the small school boys, getting set for super sectionals next week, and, of course, looking forward to the spring sports. But as of now, it is all on hold. We're going to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. Still a lot to do. And, you know, in radio, sometimes you just have to be flexible and be willing to change course. We had planned this to be part two of our Steve Kimbrough tribute show. And, you know, Terry used to always say, better to be lucky than good. And it just so happened this week that we had Brett Tekin and Brian Pisco both lined up to talk about Steve Kimbrough. Coach Tekin played for Coach Kimbrough, and obviously Pisco was the assistant under Coach Kimbrough for about 30 years. So we'll talk to them about that. But Brett Tekin's a softball coach at Hillsboro. Brian Pisco, the Nokomis baseball coach. So we will get their thoughts on what has transpired here over the last 24 hours. Also going to catch up with Steve Moore. He's the former Staunton boys basketball coach. We'll get his historical perspective on Coach Kimbrough as well when Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Sean Bullitt.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. And no Cardinal baseball, obviously, coming up today or tomorrow. Spring training's canceled.
And oh,
have you ever seen the list of Shannonisms from the great Mike Shannon?
Oh,
there are some classics in there. He's in New York calling a game for the Mets. I wish you folks back in St. Louis could see this full moon. Ah, the moon man. So no Cardinal baseball here for the foreseeable future. They're saying delaying the start of the season 2 weeks. That's optimistic, I would say. I mean, if they're playing baseball by the 1st of May, I think that would be a pretty good accomplishment.
Yeah, it takes a lot of reconfiguring with the travel and everything else and balance in the divisions. I don't know what they have to consider if they drop interleague play or...
I have no idea what
keep it all balanced. I don't know, but Rob Manfred's in charge.
Oh,
he might just all of a sudden say, "Hey, you know what? We're gonna have a Japan series in the middle of the season.
We'll hand out that piece of metal to somebody."
Yeah, this guy's gonna come up with anything.
Yes, he will.
Oh my word! Or let's do like they did in World War II and in football and merge teams and you know, I don't know. I'm ready for anything out of that guy.
Right. Well, as we sit here on the 14th day of March, we should have been just a couple of days away from the start of the high school baseball and softball season. We now know that will not be the case, with all the schools in the state being closed until March 30th. There will be no spring sports during that time. And on the phone with us right now is Hillsboro softball coach Brett Tekin. And Teek, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Well, when I talked to you a couple weeks ago, I wanted to get you on here to talk about Coach Kimbrough. And we're still obviously going to get into that, but man, things have really changed here in certainly the last week, but even the last just couple of days. And just your thoughts, Teek, on the spring sports season being put on hold here.
It's, I mean, the first thought I had and stuff were, and then you guys mentioned already, the seniors. And this is their last hurrah, their last sports season of their high school careers. And hopefully they're going to be able to finish it, just an abbreviated season. But that was my first thought, is just how bad it is for them.
Have you had a chance at this point to talk to your kids?
No, we didn't find out until we had a half day of school yesterday. And with all the rain and stuff, we actually didn't have practice yesterday. And then at a faculty meeting, we found out about the school cancellations and everything. So I sent them a group message yesterday. We're going to have practice on Monday, yeah, Tuesdays, whenever all that comes into play. We also have a parents meeting Monday, so we're going to talk with them about that and kind of what we know at that point in time, which it can change from hour to hour. Yeah. So we're going to cover all that on Monday.
Maybe you know the answer to this. Maybe you don't. Teams that have games scheduled on Monday, can they play those?
That's the way I understand it. They can play on Monday, and then Tuesday it all starts.
Okay. And obviously the state basketball tournament on the boys' side got canceled. You're the girls' mm-hmm. basketball coach at Hillsborough. You just took the toppers to state last year. Can you even fathom, as a coach, having to have a conversation mm-hmm. with your basketball team that made it to state and then tell them we don't get to play?
Yeah, I thought about that whenever I heard that and stuff. I heard Modern Day was actually on the court whenever they found out. Mm. They brought him off the court and stuff. And that would have been devastating. That I mean, like, you think last year we had a very senior-dominated group, mm-hmm. and to go and have to tell them that we don't get to see where we finish and stuff, it's just over. That would have been a very tough situation to be in.
Because, I mean, when you get to the state tournament, whether you win the whole thing or finish fourth, it doesn't matter. Or in your case, Teak, when you got to the state tournament as a player, that was back in the two-class system day, where if you lost in the quarterfinal, you went home, and that was your experience, but you still played in the state tournament, and it's still something you remember to this day.
Oh, yeah, you still had an opportunity, and the games play out, and you just kind of see where you finish. And like you said, it matters, but it doesn't matter. You got to play there, and I mean, we got fourth last year, but myself and those young ladies, they're not going to forget anything about that. That's going to be something in their memories, and they got a medal, and we got a trophy at the school that always commemorates that and stuff. And you just get all of that taken away from you just in a few minutes.
Yeah.
So it would be tough.
Talking with Brett Teakin, the softball coach and girls basketball coach at Hillsborough. But during his playing days, he was at Nokomis, and he was on those early Steve Kimbrough teams. We just talked about him going to state in Coach Kimbrough's second year. And, Teak, that was the reason initially to have you on this morning. Wanted you to give us your thoughts about Coach Kimbrough, not only playing for him, but then watching him over the years develop into one of the greatest coaches the state has ever seen. So I guess we'll just start with this. Now that Coach Kimbrough is officially retired from Nokomis, as you look back on his career, what are some of the things that jump out to you?
Oh, consistency is probably one of them. His teams, year in and year out, just was successful, and it didn't really matter whether players graduated, new players came in. They ran the same system. They did the same things, and they were just consistent year in and year out.
That was always a thing that amazed me at a small public school like that, because there's always lulls, gaps in talent in classes at a small school. That's just the way that it works. And Teak, that had to happen at Nokomis at some point over the last 39 years, and the only thing I can come up with is Kimbrough was just so dang good that it never showed up.
Well, if you look, I mean, he had teams that maybe weren't quite as good offensively, had some teams that didn't score as well, but their defense was always so good. And it's one thing I try to preach, too, and I know I've heard Coach say it times and times again, it doesn't take talent to play defense.
Right.
You just got to be willing to work.
Yeah.
And he made sure that his players were willing to work. So there might be some years they win games 38-32. And then there might be some years where they have better offensively and they're beating teams 58-32.
Right.
So that's where the consistency comes in, is the way he's been able to get teams throughout the years to play defense year in and year out.
When you think back to your playing days now, when he came...
Oh, you're going back a long time.
I know. I hope you can remember back that far now. As you think back there, do you remember the first practice under Coach Kimbrough, that first year, those first days? What was it like playing for a young Steve Kimbrough?
You were scared. he at that time he was playing basketball in a men's league, and he was in shape. And I mean, as a post player, you at times had to go up against him.
Oh boy.
And that wasn't any fun. I mean, I would say probably 2/3 of practice were conditioning and defense, mm-hmm. and then about 1/3 of practice you're shooting and you work your offense. You always, whenever you got to the team part of practice, varsity would always have to play defense first, and you earned your way to play offense. And if you didn't get so many stops or stuff against the JV team, you kept playing defense until you got them. And so you worked your butt off on defense, so you got to play some offense.
And that to me is fascinating, because any great program, I don't care if it's boys, girls, junior high, high school, if defense is your calling card, you're going to be in a good spot more times than not.
Oh yeah, and it's something. I mean, I've talked with our teams here and stuff. Defense is so important. You have to. Offense is going to come and go. Offense is going to be there some nights. Some nights it's not. But if defense can get you through those nights when you're not shooting well, and still give you an opportunity to win in the end. And that was something that. I heard Coach talk about a great deal whenever I played, and I've tried to carry it on. We've had teams that were better defensively than other teams, but it's something that you try to push to your kids.
Dee, I know I've asked you this before about some of the things you took from Coach Kimbrough to implement into your own program, and I think, if I remember correctly, you said a lot of the stuff was more drills, practice-related, maybe more so than X's and O's game strategy.
Yeah, if you'd watch coaches' teams and you'd watch my teams, you probably wouldn't really think that they're all that similar. I play man-to-man for the most part. Offensively, we'll shoot more threes and stuff than Coach does with his teams and everything. But we do defense first. Mm-hmm. The varsity does, and then they don't get to go to offense until they get so many stops on defense, whether it's full court or half court, and it's emphasis on rebounding and defensively the possession isn't over until you've got the ball, then you go to offense, and it's more stuff like that, I would say, that I took from Coach, and not, like I said, not so much. I mean, we have played some 1-2-2. His 1-2-2 really developed into kind of a hybrid, I guess mm-hmm. you would say. After I left, it was pretty much a straight 1-2-2 when I was there. It's kind of a 1-2-2 man-to-man combination, I would say, now. And, he has pretty much perfected it, I would say.
Yeah.
So, it's a lot more just, mentality and practice and stuff like that I learned from Coach more so than it would be game strategy.
You use the word scared when talking about the early days of Coach Kimbrough. I don't think that's still the case for the kids now, because he has mellowed.
Yeah. Every time I say something to him about that, he'll say, well, the players are better. And then he'll laugh. He said, "Don't have to yell at him as much. Players are better." And I was like, "Well, okay." And then he'll laugh and stuff. But and I think a lot of coaches do that. You're young, you're intense, and then you yell a lot, and then you realize, you know, sometimes yelling doesn't always get the best out of them. I think Coach went through that from the time I was there to 10 or 15 years later. I mean, he's still intense. You can still see it on the sidelines. And, I mean, I haven't been in a Nokomis practice for a long time, but I'm sure in practice he's still intense too. But he's calmed down a little bit.
And you've got a great card to play in your back pocket, Teague. If your team's ever giving you trouble, you can just say, hey, we can get Coach Kimbrough in here and he can run the rest of the practice. And believe you me, I look a lot better.
Yeah, now he's got time.
That's right. Brett Teakin, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time here reminiscing about Coach Kimbrough. And, of course, we wish you the best of luck moving forward with the softball season this year.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Brett Tekin with Hillsborough. And, Sean, that's a fascinating perspective to me when you think about he was on those early teams with Coach Kimbrough, and then he transitions into one of the great coaches we have in the area. It's just it's a wonderful story there.
Yeah, and really neat to learn from a very hands-on coach. You don't get more hands-on than participating in practice. I wonder...
When you see the pictures of Coach Kimbrough, like from those 80s, he is a stacked dude, and I can only imagine... Scared is probably the word. I got to post Coach Kimbrough? I don't want to.
And I wonder how many coaches still do that. Or, yeah, I know it has to be less than a generation ago.
Yeah,
some would frown on it, some are... But I think it's a great, great principle as long as you can do it. You can't do it for 39 years.
No.
But
you know, he had to retire at that long before he had to retire off the actual sideline.
Even if you can do it, your knees can't.
Yeah, exactly right. Of course, Coach Kimbrough stepped down after 39 years, and I believe for 30 of those seasons, Brian Pieska was right there with him on the Nokomis sideline, and we're so happy to be joined by Coach Pieska right now. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing really good, and we're going to get in to Coach Kimbrough and you and your time on the sidelines, but things have changed here in the last couple of days, so we must start with the announcement yesterday, of course, that the spring sports season is suspended here at least through the rest of this month. Just from the Nokomis perspective, kind of catch us up. Tell us what's been going on.
Well, we had practice last night, and we told them everything that we know right now, which is not a whole lot. I think we're going to know a lot more Monday. But we're going to go on like normal until we hear, you know, we're going to practice here in a little bit, and then we're going to practice Monday and just go from there. I mean, I told them, you know, we've got 13 lettermen coming back. We graduated no seniors. So we added Carrick Pembroke from Taylorville moved over, and Jude Bertolino moved over from Hillsborough. So we're pretty solid, but, you know, you just got to, you know, it's one of those deals you got to err on the side of safety.
Right.
And so we're just going to, you know, I've coached so long, these things come up and you're just kind of numb to it. And so you just got to deal with it and move on.
We were talking about the state basketball tournament being canceled and how sad it is for the seniors. You just mentioned you've got a senior-laden club, and not just, like, a senior group, like, oh, we got a bunch of seniors. You got a bunch of talented seniors where a deep run into the postseason is a legit possibility. So just from that perspective, Coach, how concerned are you that the season may be in flux here?
Well, you know, you're hoping for the good thing to happen, but I don't see it happening. I mean, I hate to say it, but everybody's sort of following suit right now. And you know, especially like with the state basketball tournament stuff, you know, these are lifetime memories for kids. And these are things that in 10 or 15 years, when you're having a bad day at work, you can look back and say, hey, you know, we did that or I did that. And I just feel terrible for them, you know, that they didn't get to, you know, like Teague said, they didn't get to put it out there on the floor and let that decide it.
I know. And I had this thought earlier. I can't imagine if Nokomis would have gotten to the state tournament this year, and that's how Coach Kimbrough's career would have ended. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that would have been terrible. I mean, you know, it's going to come to an end sooner or later, but that's not the way you want it to see it end.
Not at all. And as you look back on your time with Coach Kimbrough, the number of memories you have are staggering. If you could just maybe condense a few of the prime ones down for us here, what was it like to be on the sideline for those 30 years with Coach Kimbrough?
How much time do I got?
As much as you need, Brian.
No, I think, you know, there's so many things that I could say, but I think one of the things that I was taught in college and in high school is you try to out-practice, out-work the other teams in practice. And he brought the intensity of college to practice every day. He, you know, we had bad coaching games. He never had a bad practice. And I think that's one of the biggest things I learned from him is he came every day prepared, ready to go. And you can ask a lot of players and they'll tell you the same thing. And, you know, we're only human. We have personal issues. You're sick or whatever. But not him. he came to practice every day. And I've had a lot of people ask me about the success over at Nokomis. And I, you know, is there a secret or what have you done or what has he done? And I said, I think we just out-practice people.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, the practices are supposed to be hard. The games are supposed to be easy. So I always kind of, looked at that and told a lot of people that.
And I, you know, the Nokomis practice, there's a lore that goes with the Nokomis practice for people outside of Nokomis. It got in people's heads. I mean, when opponents were getting ready to play Nokomis, they were thinking about the Nokomis practices and the famed gym heat being turned up and all those different things. We know that wasn't true, but it was in people's minds. They thought it was true, so it might as well have been.
Yeah, we always started out with the 3 and 4A schedule, and then we got into Alt Marquette, and we got into Williamsville, and we got into Pena. And, you know, at Christmas, we knew exactly what we needed to work on.
Right.
And we took a few days off, and we got back in the gym, and we knew what to work on. And when we come to Mooresville Tournament, we felt pretty good about ourselves.
Yeah. Talking with Brian Pisco here, of course, the Nokomis baseball coach, and spent 30 years on the sideline with Coach Kimbrough. And, Brian, I was sort of guilty of it as well, man. I'd talk about Coach Kimbrough, but then I would sort of forget about Brian Pisco. That's my bad. But 30 years, man, that's a long time.
Yeah, I don't know where those years went, to be honest with you. But I always felt like, you know, I don't know if you know the 1-2-2 history. It started in Collinsville with Virgil Fletcher, and Harlan Scheibel ended up at Litchfield. And I think Warren Wallace was his assistant coach for a year or two. And then Harlan came to Hillsboro. Warren went to Nokomis and taught Neil and Steve the 1-2-2, and I learned the 1-2-2 from Harlan, so I always felt like we were a pretty good fit, because I knew the guard spots, and Steve knew the post player, so we learned the same system, so that was really an advantage, too.
Talk a little bit about being the lead assistant for that long of a period of time on a team that year in, year out was good. A lot of times, the JV coach, lead assistant, whatever you want to call him, you're kind of the go-between at periods between the players and the head coach.
Well, you know, the thing about there was with Steve, he let me coach. Mm-hmm. You know, he never told me, not one time in 30 years, don't say that or don't do that. Not one time. So, you know, I always felt like, that I was coaching, because when you're an assistant coach, you either feel like you're not doing anything or you're in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to be that middle ground. But for 30 years, he made me feel like I was a part of it. It wasn't him, it was his coaching staff. And, that made it more enjoyable for me. And obviously things went real well.
That last home game against Edinburgh after it was over, real special moment in the post-game ceremony when you were presented a plaque by your children. That had to be one of the highlights of everything.
I didn't know they were going to be there. My oldest boy lives in Soulard. The next day they were having a big get-together at his house, so I didn't think my boys were going to be there. And then all of a sudden, there they were. And, And, you know, they got to play there, and they got to go through the system, And that was special. That really was. I really wasn't expecting anything. And, it was his night, not mine. But it was very nice that I got that and got to enjoy it with Steve and his family and everything. So it was special.
But I do know, and it was Steve's night, you are correct. But I know that Coach Kimbrough, he'd be the first to say, he wouldn't have had near the success that he had if you weren't along with him for those 30 years.
Well, I like to, I'd like to think so. I mean, I don't know. I kind of focused a little bit more on the offensive side, and he was kind of a little bit more of the defense side. And like I said, we both came through the same system, so we both had the same philosophy of outworking people, and that worked well, And so everything kind of just, came together, the right way, I guess.
I've often wondered this. I've never actually asked you, mentality-wise, from basketball to baseball, they're two different sports. They're completely the energy around a high school baseball season is just different, fans and whatnot. But do you approach the mentality the same, basketball versus baseball, or do you approach it differently?
I pretty much the same. Yeah, baseball's different. You got time to think about things, and basketball, you really don't. You're just reacting the whole time. So, you know, I said, you know, it really baseball's kind of tougher because you play right field. I mean, you might not get a ball for six innings and, you know, you bat three, four times a game. So it's the same, but then again, like I said, it is different too.
Brian Piesko, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Thoughts on Coach Kimbrough, and we certainly hope that we get to run across our paths here coming up on the baseball diamond.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, Brian Piesko with Nokomis. And, hey, we appreciate Brian shooting it to us straight there, but he does not have a high degree of confidence, it didn't sound like, for the spring season moving forward. That was just his thought and his opinion. But, you know, it comes from a place where it's an educated, well-rounded opinion.
And I'm trying to recall, what is it, 3 weeks to a month of practice before a season starts?
Yeah.
How do you duplicate that? I mean,
I don't know.
April 1's one thing.
And baseball is different than all these other sports with your pitching. You know, the pitching's got to be stretched out and ready to go. And especially at the high school level, a lot of teams are struggling to have enough pitching as it is.
Well, not to mention, you'll talk to coaches all the time and they'll say spring sports get the short end of the stick.
Well,
kids are just ready to be done with the year. And you put that in this situation, it's going to be even that much more difficult.
1,000%. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to talk with Steve Moore. Steve was the basketball coach at Staunton for a good number of years. He's involved with cross country at Staunton still to this day, but great historian in the game of basketball around Mid-Illinois. So we look forward to getting Steve Moore's thoughts on Steve Kimbrough when Sports Saturday returns following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Sean Bullent.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. Hey, just a reminder here, the IHSA wants to make people aware that athletes in spring sports, you cannot play with your club or travel team during this shutdown. If you do, you will be ineligible for the high school season when it resumes. And I like to say when it resumes, Sean. I don't know if we should say if it does.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll worry about that in 2 weeks, but we know for 2 weeks it won't be happening. It's just, who knows where we will be 2 weeks from now?
No doubt about it. This is the unknown. Everything about this is the unknown. The impossible is possible, what have you.
Yeah. 33 states, as of last night, have postponed or canceled high school sporting tournaments. 33 of the 50 states.
Yeah, cancellations have gone pandemic.
Yeah, they sure have. It's been a very interesting time.
Oof.
Here the last number of weeks, especially just the last 48 hours, have just been surreal in a lot of ways. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by Steve Moore. Steve was the basketball coach at Staunton, and of course, he's the current cross-country coach at Staunton as well. Happy to have Steve on the phone right now. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, we're doing good. I got a hold of you a couple weeks ago. I wanted to get you on to talk about Coach Kimbrough because you're a great, great historian of basketball and appreciate greatness. So we'll get into that in a moment, but things have changed so much here just in the last day or so. And Steve, you're an educator over at Staunton. So just kind of give us an update on the situation as far as Staunton schools are concerned.
Well, really, I probably don't know it a lot more than you guys. I mean, our administration's been very transparent through the whole process, which I think really helped put people at ease in a time of unknown. But then we got the word from the governor, I guess, you know, a little bit after school got out, that we'll just be meeting on Monday and then out for 2 weeks. So we're just rushing to get prepared, you know, to get some information to kids over that 2 weeks so we don't have too much slide in the educational process, and then hopefully get back after it after that.
And, as of now, it's a two-week hiatus for the spring sport season. And just, Steve, as a guy who loves sports, and, you know, you've coached sports, you've been around sports your whole life, you just feel for the kids in this situation where all the work they've put in leading up into it, and now it's in doubt.
Yeah, and even things like we had a big musical going on this weekend. There's a talent show coming up, like even kind of the non-sports things. But I guess more hitting at home, our seventh grade girls had that were undefeated and had a legitimate chance maybe to win a state title. They were set to go to state, I believe, today. And, you know, so that got, they're calling it postponed, so we're hoping for the best. But, you know, the way things are kind of trending, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Well, I hate to tell you, but it has officially been canceled now.
Oh, has it? I'm sorry.
It has been officially canceled, unfortunately. And, you know, with the state basketball tournament getting canceled, that it's always been the crown jewel of the IHSA. And, Steve, you're a basketball guy. You were a high school coach for a good number of years. Can you even imagine what that would be like to be at the state tournament to advance and then have to go in and tell your kids we don't get to play?
No, I can't. And, you know, I always think back, and it's sending a chill down my spine now, the 1993 Bulldogs when I was, you know, I was a kid. And just the memories that it still brings, you know, to the community, those guys getting together every year, the stories you just get to tell. And for a chance for communities, you know, not to be able to have that experience, you certainly do feel for them. I mean, I guess there's words can't really express, you know, but what that would mean to be able to play in those games. So.
No, it's just, I mean, you just feel for, especially the seniors, to have your high school career in that way is just, you never even dream of a scenario such as that. And on the opposite end of never really dreaming of a scenario, when you get into coaching, you never think, you know, 39 years later, I'm going to have over 800 wins and be in the top five in the history of the state. But that's where Steve Kimbrough winds up. And talking with Steve Moore here, and Steve, just from your perspective as a coach, how impressive was it to watch Steve Kimbrough do his thing?
Well, it's just amazing. And, you know, a compliment to him personally is I never really heard him take credit for any of it.
Right.
Like, oh, the kids, you know, they just work hard. And obviously, you know, for him to be able to win at a small public school that's for, you know, years and years, like you just mentioned, I think it had a little bit to do with Coach Kimbrough as well. And I was, you know, looking at people he's passed up on his all-time list, like, you hear growing up Arthur Trout, Virgil Fletcher, I mean, just the iconic names of Illinois basketball history. And then even people that I've met and known personally, like Coach Lofka. You know, Coach Kimbrough, he goes about his business and just lets the work on the court do the talking. You know, I feel like on a personal level, that's a big compliment I could give to him for sure.
And you didn't run across Nokomis's path a whole lot of times when you were coaching with Staunton, but you did have a few games with them. And I would think that when you're a preparation guy, you're always prepared. When you're getting ready to take on a Steve Kimbrough Nokomis-led team, I would imagine in your mind the preparation takes a little different level.
It does. And, you know, we're all basketball coaches tend to think we all have everything figured out. We're smartest guys around. And it's a bit humbling when, you know, in the games, I'm sure he outcoached me, and that, you know, I feel like I had my strategy, I did what I needed to, and I'm sure he was outcoaching me, but it's a bit humbling to know that you were outcoached early in the week. For people who are, you know, so confident in what they do and whatnot, you know, like I said, I guess the word humbling is maybe the best word I could use there. But, you know, I think coaches, we would always say, why can't we get our kids to play as hard as they possibly can for 32 minutes? And you always hear those last two words, like Nokomis. And it just seems like everybody would say that. Like, how did you get him to play that hard for the whole 32 minutes? Because it's so easy to say that and want to do that, but to actually execute is just a different story altogether.
And it's always a fine line, is it not, when you're preparing for a game, preparing for the opponent, but at the same time, doing what you do. And I always thought that was the trick when you played Steve Kimbrough and Nokomis. Like, yeah, you can do what you want to do, but if you're not prepared for the 1-2-2, it's not going to go well.
Yeah, and frustrating is probably the biggest word for me. Like, we'd go, and I had some pretty decent teams there for a little stretch, and
right,
we were averaging close to 20 wins a year, and we'd get to Nokomis, and maybe they're popping 50, 60 points a game, and then they'd beat us like 40 to 32 year after year. It's like, this is so frustrating. So my last year, I knew I was getting out. And I think Coach Teak and I had heard him say earlier, it was really kind of a hybrid, became kind of like a man-to-man in some parts. And I said, you know, I'm throwing out my zone stuff, and we're just going to run our man stuff. And we somehow beat them on the road that year. You would have thought our kids won the Super Bowl.
Heck
and
yeah.
It was like, it was unbelievable in the locker room afterwards. They just, I mean, and so that's just like, you think about all the wins he had, and he had their program had a target on their back every time they played because it was like everybody's Super Bowl, and they still had that much success.
And that was always so interesting to me was, you know, Nokomis, one of the smaller schools around. We heard Pisco talk about, you know, they played that 3A, 4A schedule at the start. But it's not very often where a small school is consistently the favorite over bigger schools. But, I mean, that's what it was when they were. Litchfield wasn't the favorite. Hillsborough wasn't the favorite. Staunton wasn't the favorite. Lincolnwood wasn't. I mean, Nokomis, around, they were the favorite every single game they played for 39 years.
They were, and you gotta give them credit. They would go play tough teams. They would play a hard schedule, and they, you know, I think prided themselves in taking on the big dogs, and they felt like there was not going to be any excuses. Like, we're not going to use the excuse for a small school, and we're just going to go out there and work. And, you know, his kids, in addition to playing hard, they always were so fundamentally sound. I mean, they handled pressure well. They shot free throws. I think you felt like if you were down by 5 or 10 in the fourth quarter of the game, it was more like a 15-point lead because they could just handle the pressure and shoot free throws so well.
It's always interesting, like before a game, the coaches will shake hands. They'll stand in midcourt while their teams are warming up, and they'll talk. This is standard. But it always had a little different feel whenever it was a Nokomis game, at least to me from afar, because you could feel that the opposing coach, they were really soaking in that time with Coach Kimber before a ball game.
Well, yeah, he's just a down-to-earth guy. And again, I don't know him real well. Like I said, we hadn't matched up too often, but just treated you so kindly. Like, you went to their place and just asked if you need anything, and, you know, offered if you had any questions or whatever, reach out to me. And just, you know, it's one thing to have all that success, but to do it the right way with such high character and treating people the right way, I think is, you know, the cherry on top there.
Now, Steve, when he asked, do you need anything, did you ever think of saying, yeah, don't run the ball press tonight?
Well, that crossed my mind a few times for sure. But, you know, something else that they did, I think, kind of gets overlooked is in an era where everybody was spreading things out, going guard heavy, shooting threes, they kind of stuck to the bread and butter. You know, they're just going to pound it down in the post. They rebounded just exceptionally well. And kind of reminds me of these teams in football going to the spread, and then when they find a power eye team that's just going to run it down your throat, like, you don't know how to handle it almost. And Nokomis just kind of stuck to their guns when everybody else was switching, you know, with how the game was changing. They kept doing things the other way, and I think it gave people problems. They just weren't used to it anymore.
And that had to help them in those deep playoff rounds, because, you know, when you get into sectional, semifinal, sectional championship, super sectionals, sometimes the outside shots don't fall like they had been, but when your bread and butter is interior play and defense, you're going to be hard to beat, and boy, were they.
Yeah, for sure. They, you know, they did what they did, and although they obviously were well prepared for their opposition, I think they did what they did so well that it was going to give you problems in the postseason, obviously the regular season as well, but they didn't have that fall off in the postseason like some teams do.
Steve Moore, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning and your perspective on the Hall of Famer, Coach Steve Kimbrough. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, Steve Moore with Staunton, and some good perspective there on Coach Kimbrough. We kind of got a feel for the spring sport cancellation as well. We'll just kind of keep monitoring that and see what transpires.
Wow.
But, you know, tomorrow should have been bracket day. Today should have been state championship day for 1A and 2A boys basketball. None of it, of course, will be happening. And the Fighting Illini, my gosh, all year long, resurgent season, NCAA team, no doubt about it. Great year in the Big Ten. And now, done.
And Brian Barnhart deserved a call.
Oh, he did.
One of those games. He's been through some,
he's seen
world-class
some
announcer. Yeah. And he has been through some, you know, 2002 World Series calls, the Angels winning it all, and he's seen some lean times coming back home. There's a guy who deserves some magic moments.
Yeah, and you think about Io. He said when he signed out of high school, wanted to bring Illinois back, wanted to bring him back. He did, but unfortunately, the tournament was not in the cards because it just unfortunate.
I can't even fathom.
No. No, so we were all primed and poised for Illini postseason basketball. It was going to be a lot of fun, but not now.
Sounds like me in high school. The big dance is scheduled, and you're not dancing.
The old sock hop?
Yeah.
They don't have sock hops anymore.
No, they don't.
That's a shame. That's a loss for society right there.
I was always an observer, not a participant.
Hey, thanks to Brett Teakin, Brian Pisco, Steve Moore for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. And
an observer trophy.
We'll just keep our eyes open here, and we'll move forward the best we can, but not a whole lot happening in the world of sports right now. For David and Sean, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.